Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Nun. We're on the bottom of Mem Testament Base, and we're going to be continuing today. We just started the sixth parak of the Masechta. In fact, just yesterday. So we began Anodim and Atavsho. Sorry. Anodim and Mavushal. Even have my glasses on. Fantastic. So we're looking at Lashonos of Nedarim. And again, the rule, as we saw yesterday very clearly in the Gemara, is that when it comes to Nedarim, Hochanach, Halashon, B'nei Adam, we follow what is the current understanding of language, and not an older version of the language, an older understanding of the language, even if it happens to be. It's a tremendous chiddush, but the Gemara says it, even if it happens to be, that we're going to find that such lashon is used in the Torah. Okay, in other words, in terms of understanding the Torah, obviously we need a proper understanding of the Torah. But when understanding a person making a neder, so obviously his neder is based on his intention, and his intention is based on current usage of the language. Okay, good. So that's the rule. We got the rule down. We're going to go through a number of different examples in the Mishnayos. So yesterday we were treated to a number of different examples in terms of making a neder against cooked foods, and exactly what he said will define exactly what the neder is going to incorporate. Which cooked foods are going to be included in his neder and which are not. So that's what we saw yesterday, and yesterday the Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent, and for the remainder of today we're going to just stay on that tangent. And we're going to be discussing and describing today, most famously, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and his wife, the story is told twice in Shas. So once in today's daf, and another time in Ksuvah's daf, Samech Beis. So your versions of the story that we're going to be hearing today, we heard another variation of the story, minor differences between the same story being told in two locations in Shas. And if time's going to allow, we're not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on the differences, but in other words, obviously, it would be a valuable usage of time to look at the two Gemara side by side, notice the differences between them. Okay, but anyway, in the meantime, however, let's just quickly pick up where we left off yesterday. Right, I should have just covered this little bit of Gemara from yesterday. So, Zimna Chada. So now, the truth of the matter is I'm just going to back up one line. I'm going to go divide to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we did this yesterday, but I'm just going to back up to that point in time. The two stories seem to be connected one to the other. The wife of Rev Yehuda, if you want to find me on Mem Testament Beis, so it is five lines from the bottom. Excuse me. So, divasai de Rev Yehuda, so as far as the wife of Rev Yehuda is concerned, nafakt, and nakta imra, so she found wool. So, avda glima de hut vei. So, what she did is she made a garment. It was a beautiful garment, significant garment. And kanafka l'shuka mechzebei. She would go to the market, she would cover herself with the garment. In other words, it was some sort of overcoat. The kanafik Rav Yehuda l'tzluye, and Rav Yehuda would go to shul, ave mechze, he would also use the same garment. Umatzle, and he would daven with the garment. V'kan machzebei, have a mavarach, baruch she'atani me'il. The garment was such a significant garment, and he made a bracha on it. Okay, good. Yesterday, I quoted the Bach. As long as I have an opportunity, we'll quote it again. So the Bach says that the Yisra in the Torah of that a man's not allowed to wear women's clothing, right? Lo yekli gever al isha, lo yibash gever simlas isha. So both directions, man can be wearing women's clothing and vice versa. So over here, the Bach says it doesn't apply. Over here, he writes that in other words, when something is specific to be worn by a woman, so that can be worn by a man and vice versa. But if it's something which is what we describe basically as unisex, so then it would not be a violation of cross dressing. Anyway, Zimna Chada. Okay, so continuing now. So there was an occasion. Gazar Rav Shimon Gamliel Tanisa, and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he declared a public fast, and Rav Shimon Gamliel obviously is a nasi, right? It's built into the name Rabban. Whenever you see Rabban, Rabban Gamliel, so you know he's a nasi. So he's a nasi. And he made a fast, and Rabbi Yehuda lost the Beit Tanisa. Now that means that people have to assemble, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't go to the assembly. So Amrin Lay, lo Islay Kisuye. So now they say to him, what's the problem? Meaning, why don't you leave your house? Why don't you go to the Beit Nasi? Why don't you go to the Beit Tanisa? There was an assembly. So they're like, oh, he must have nothing to wear. Now it could be, and right then the Marsha speaks like this, it could be that he had nothing to wear because currently, where was the coat? His wife was using it. Okay, could be. Regardless. So Shardale Glima Velo Kabil. So what they did, meaning the Nasi did, is they sent him a coat. Meaning, obviously, you need an extra coat. So they sent him a coat so that he can go to the assembly. So Dali Sifsa, so what he did, is that he had a mat on the floor. He raised the mat off the floor. And there was some money underneath the mat. And he says, no, the issue is not money. I have money. So, it's just that, look, I don't want to get too much benefit from this world, meaning I don't want to luxuriate myself too much. So, you know what? I'm just simply going to decline. Okay. And that's the end of the story. And it's an odd story, and I'm still trying to make sense of it. Meaning, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, look, we're making a Tanisa, and I'm the Nasi, and I'm telling you to come, and I'm bringing over a coat for you to come, and I'm telling you to come, like, in other words, why did he decline? Why didn't he accept the coat? In other words, and why didn't he just simply follow the instructions of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Whatever. I'm still struggling to understand what just happened over there, but okay. Anyway, that's the story as told in the Gemara.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, good. And meanwhile, for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't tell us why there was a Tanis, but if they're, you know, if they're making a public Tanis, I mean, that's important also. Okay. All right, I'm ready to move on, but okay, that's you know the advantage of the daf. In other words, I can move on, and I not only can move on, I have to move on. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so here we go. We're on Nun here in Nedarim, and this is it. Meaning two places in Shas where the story is told. Once here and once in Ksuvas. On Ksuvas Samach Beis. Okay, so if we can remember, you know. The more we go over, the more we're going to remember. So 62 and 50, right? Today being the 50. So Rabbi Akiva is Kaddish Le Barta de Kappa Savua. So Rabbi Akiva, so he married the daughter of Kappa Savua. Kappa Savua, we know, was one of the wealthiest people living in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara describes elsewhere, not here, elsewhere the Gemara describes the wealth of Kappa Savua. In fact, that's how he got the name. It's a funny name, Kappa Savua, the satiated dog. So and the Gemara elsewhere says that when people walked into his house, they were starving, but when they came out, they were perfectly satiated. Okay. Anyway, he was very wealthy, and so his daughter married Rabbi Akiva, and it made him really unhappy. The Gemara Ksuva says that Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd. Okay. So outside of that, we don't have much more background regarding Rabbi Akiva, but it's fair to say that he didn't have a whole lot of yichus. So anyway, but the and the Gemara Ksuvas, by the way, gives us a little bit more regarding the background of like the relationship. But okay, anyway, we're at the point already where they got married. So Shama Kava Savua Adrahana Mikol Nichsei. So Kava Savua hears this and he makes an eder. He's madir. He says the Rabbi Kiva is not going to get any benefit from any of my possessions. So Azav is Nasvi Lei Besitva. So, and nevertheless, they went through with the marriage. Now, in other words, they already went through the first stage of marriage, Kedushin, and now they went to the second stage of marriage. And they did so by Sidva. Sidva, the Ran says, is in the wintertime. Okay, and Havaganu, Beitivna. So, because it was so cold, so they had to sleep on straw. And Havakamanki Leitivna Min Mazya. And what he had to do is he had to take the straw out of her hair. Okay, in other words, they really didn't have a whole lot. In other words, they didn't have proper bedding. And dad wasn't supporting them, and okay, and so they lived in poverty. So Amar Lai Yavali Ramina Lach Yerushalayim De Dahava. Now he says to her that if I had the means and I had the money, so I would have given you the golden Yerushalayim. The golden Yerushalayim is a significant piece of jewelry, and basically Rabbi Kiva says this: look, if means were the weren't an issue, so then of course I'd give you jewelry, and okay, touching, beautiful. So Asa Eliyahu. So now Eliyahu comes, and as Aran points out over here, what Eliyahu is going to do is just simply comfort them. Meaning that right now they are struggling financially, significantly struggling. And so what Eliyahu is going to do is going to give them nechama. How is he going to give them nechama? It's very simple. In other words, if you think you're struggling, everything in this world is relative, and there are people that are struggling much more than you. Okay. So Idmalun Kanashan, Vekakari Abava. So Eliyahu appears like a person knocking on the door. Amaluhu avali porta de tivna, and dialta itati v'leisli midam laaguna. So he says. So Eliyahu now pretending to be somebody, just a regular person, a poor person knocking on the door asking for straw. His wife just had a baby, and they need some. They need some straw. So could they give him some straw? So in other words, from the perspective of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, like in other words, they're big knockers. They're like, you know what I mean? They got a lot of straw. So they're able to give a little bit of straw to this poor person. So Amala Rabbi Akiva li intate chazigavra da filotivne lo islay. And so Rabbi Akiva says to his wife, look, he doesn't even have straw, meaning we're doing pretty good. Okay. So obviously on the scale of wealth, everything becomes relative, right? Wealthy people, there's always people going to be wealthier than them. And with poor people, there are always going to be people more poor than you. And so how do you stand on the spectrum? So just recognize and realize that, in other words, as bad as it may be for you, it's going to be worse for other people. Okay. And it's a great way to keep perspective. So Amrale Zilhave Beirav. So she says to him, okay, no? Okay, good. I'm happy with that. We're married. Now go learn. So go to yeshiva. So Azal Tartes Rinshnin, Kama de Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. So he goes to yeshiva and he goes, learns by Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and he does so for a total of 12 years. Okay. So Lemisham Tartes Rinshnin, at the end of 12 years, Kasa Lebeise. So what does he do? He goes home. So Shama Minachari Beise. Now, as he's approaching the house, so he overhears a conversation taking place in his house. And so Rasha was speaking to his wife. And Shapar Avile Avucha. And so the Rasha says to his wife, you know, your father cut you off financially from his wealth. He did good. Right? He did the right thing. So Chada Delo Damilech. So first of all, you married a person that was well below your means. In other words, you really settled on a guy. In other words, what'd you do? You married the shepherd? You're right. You're the daughter of Kalpa Savoy. That's not who you should have married. That's number one. And now you're a widow whose husband isn't dead. Okay. 12 years now. Where's your husband been? So Amrale. Okay. So obviously those are tough punches. So anyway, but she's a tough woman. So she's tougher than the punches. So Amrale, so she says, Eatsais Ladili, so Lehavita Tisrinshin and Achrenaisa. So she says, look, if it were up to me, if he would have listened to me, so he'd be learning for another 12 years. So Amrahovi Aftali Rishusa Yadalachare. So now he recognizes at that point in time, permission granted. And so what does he do? He turns around and he goes back. So Hadar Azal. So he goes back to the yeshiva and he learns now for an additional 12 years. Havitartis Rishni Achrenaisa. And so now, for an additional 12 years, he's learning Asa Besim Varba Alf and Zuge Tamide. And what does he do? He comes back with 24,000 Tamidim. Now, of course, in retrospect, when as we now know the story in its complete version or a more complete version, so we do know the fate of the 24,000 Tamidim. But at least at this point in time, obviously, extraordinarily impressive that he's now coming back after 24 years with 24,000 Tamidim. So Nafakule Amalape. So now, as he's coming back now, 24 years later, so Afhi Kamtala Mepeklape. So she's doing the same thing as well. In other words, she's going to go greet her husband after 24 years. So Amalei Hahuri Shava Va'at Lehecha. So once again, the Russia's talking to her, right? The bad neighbor, okay. And she says, "Where do you think you're going?" So Amalei, and as Aran points out over here. In other words, what the neighbor is squawking is that that's how you're dressing, meaning that's how you're going to look when your husband's coming back. So Amrale, Yodei Atzadik Nefesh Bemto. So basically, she says back to her neighbor, "My husband knows me, right? There are no pretenses in our relationship over here, right? He totally knows me, and I got nothing to be ashamed about." Azosli Ischazele. So she presents herself in front of him. Again, the Gemara in Ksuvos gives a slightly different version of the story in terms of she goes down, she kisses his feet. Anyway, kamatchile rabbanan, and what happens over here is that the rabbis try to push her away. So Amr Lahon, so Rabbi Akiva says, Hinichula, no, you're going to leave her. So shalisha alchem shalahi, anything that I have, anything that you have, it all belongs to her. In other words, everything I am right now was all because of her, motivated by her, pushed by her. And so he gives her all the credit. Good. Okay, we get a really short version, meaning that's it. What was that? That was 5 minutes maybe? We get a really short version of the story over here. The Gemara in Ksuvos is slightly longer in terms of its presentation of the episode. Anyway, why does it come up over here in Nedarim for the next line? So Shama Kava Savua and Asava Isha Anidre. So Kava Savua hears this and Shela. In other words, he regrets having made the neder. Right? And obviously, it's at this point in time, it's easy to regret having made the neder. Right? So v'ishtari. The neder was released. He was released from his neder. And Rabbi Kiva now was allowed to get hana. He was allowed to get benefit from the possessions. Okay? If, excuse me. If you were to turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf, I know we're not there yet in terms of the Gemara, but if you turn to the Amud Beis, so the Ran, this comment of the Ran really belongs on the Amud Aleph, but it's tucked away over here on the Amud Beis. So how exactly was the Neder released? Right? It's funny, by the way. In other words, the story is brought up over here because of Nedarim, meaning a Neder was made, he was released from the Neder, and we're given precious little information regarding how exactly that release mechanism worked. So the Ran writes over here, I'm reading the Ran inside, had you known that your son-in-law would have been in this big Talmud Chacham. Now, in the Gemara Ksuvos, when Kalva Savua was talking to this Rabbi Akiva, he didn't know at that point in time that it was his son-in-law. Meaning, all that Kalva Savua knows is this big rabbi's coming, right, with 24,000 students, and he didn't know that it was his son-in-law. Oh, okay, that's the Ksuvos version of the story. So Amr Lo, so the Ran writes, Afilu Perkechad, Afilu Alach Achas. What are you talking about? Kalva Savua says to this great rabbi, again, not knowing that it was his son-in-law. So he said, if my son-in-law would have just known one halacha, I would have been fine with that. So So the Ran says, okay, but that hasn't happened yet. Meaning, when you're looking for a Pesach to release somebody from a neder, it has to be information that was present at the time that was just simply wasn't under consideration. If it's something that happens at a later point in time, so that's not going to help in terms of releasing from a neder. The releasing of the neder has to go from the point of origination. The point of origination, obviously, is when you make the neder. At the time that the neder was made, how much information did Rabbi Akiva know? Zero. Okay, so how does that help? So the Ran writes, "V'tanan l'kamen beperek poskin name poskin menolan." So Kate said, "I'm a konim shani nena lishponim v'nasa sofer v'amar ila isi yodesh yasa sofer lo isi noder." Okay, and he quotes the Gemara later on, meaning we'll get to the Gemara later on that you can't be posech beneder. You can't release somebody from a neder using a rationale, an explanation that only manifests after the neder was made. So Yeshlam Deshani Hachad Rabbi Kiva Al Dashi Asa Sofer Nasa Nasa Kedisa Asa Meperek Afa Pi Behedya. The Kevin Shekin Lav Nolad Hu Deshchiach Tuva Shiuma Perek Echad Valach Achas. And so what you could say is that look, that when Rachel agreed to marry Rabbi Kiva, so it's at that point in time there already was a commitment to learn. Okay, and so it could very well be that at least the beginning of his learning occurred even before Kalva Savua made the neder. Okay. Anyway, interesting run in terms of the releasing of the neder. Okay. Now turn back to the Amud Aleph and now the epilogue. Okay. So it's a beautiful story regarding Rabbi Kiva and his wife, and it's a cornerstone. Meaning it's really the basis for so much. Rabbi Kiva is the Baal HaMesorah, really transmitting the Mesorah to the Torah Shebaal Peh, whatever. We could spend hours and hours on Rabbi Kiva. But in the meantime, however, just focusing on today's daf, Rabbi Kiva ends up becoming wealthy. In other words, obviously, we saw that in his marriage with Rachel, they were unbelievably poor. And so over the course of time, Rabbi Kiva amounted to a lot of wealth. He ended up amassing a lot of wealth. How did that happen? So the Gemara says that there were six causes for his amassment of wealth. So, min shiz mili i'ater Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Kiva got wealthy in one of six different ways. So number one, min kalva sevua. So he married into money. Now, I say that as if that's so easy, but when we now know it wasn't that easy. He married into money. That part's true. But it did take him 24 years later and a lot of regret and the release of a neder, a Pesach, in order for him to enjoy any of that money. But okay. But in other words, that's one way he became wealthy. And the Gemara gives us five other ways in which he amassed wealth as well. Number two, so min ila de Sfinasa, so the Isle of Sfina. Okay, so right, everyone has that picture of those big ships where in the front of the ship, So they had some sort of statuesque figure. So what happened was is that a ship had it. The Gemara here describes it as an isle, right? A ram, a goat. Okay, I mean, isle usually is a ram, but either way. So the Gemara says, now this was normal. And right, and the reason why ships had it, the Ran writes, a very interesting Ran. So he says, Bechosvin Ayos in Demus Isle, me eats linachesh, ulusimishateasvina kalabalichasakayo. Okay, basically nichosh, right? It, was helped in the practice of divination. Now, obviously for us, we're not allowed to be menachesh, right? Using any external means in order to forecast our future, that's strictly prohibited. But, in other words, but the ships back in the day, so they used it. They used these statues for nichush and also as a simon, meaning just like the animals fleet-footed, so the ship should be fleet-footed through the water. Okay. Anyway, so you had the ship that had the isle, and I'm back in the Gemara. So, zimna chada inshuye al-kev yama. So, one time the boat left without the statue. I don't know. It fell off. It comes off. I don't know. But anyway. So, asahu vashkechei. And so what did he do? He found it. Okay, good. Good. So the, and now exactly what happens at this point in time. So we're not given any more details. Meaning, what, did he return it? Did he get compensated for returning it? Did he just get to keep it? Seems like it has a simon. Meaning, doesn't seem like a nondescript item where he just gets to keep it. Okay. Anyway. Somehow the finding of it earned him another small fortune. Number three, min gavza. Okay, he found a chest, and the Gemara gives us a little more detail over here. Dizimna chadiyayiv arbezuz le sapunai. So where Rabbi Q gives four zuz to a sailor. Amru aisi limidam. The velo ashkechu ala gavza. So basically, go get me something. I'm not clear in terms of what exactly the details were over here. Basically, he asked him to fish something out of the water. I'm not really sure, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, go get me something, and he found all he found was a chest. So Al Kef Yama it was by the shore. Asule, they bring it to Rabbi Kiva. Amrle Avid Maran Aleha. So let's wait for its owner. Ishta Kech Tava Imali Dinare. And meanwhile, this chest happened to have been filled with gold. In other words, another boat had all the fortune stored in this chest, and v'ishtakech ba'u zimna demin das rikisa. Rabbi Kiva found the chest full with that money, and it belonged to a group of Arabs, and meanwhile Rabbi Kiva found it, and again exactly what happened over here. He either got to keep it or got compensated for it. Either way. Okay, so that was number three. Number four, Min Matronisa. Okay, and another way that he became wealthy is Matronisa. Okay, now here for story number four, the Gemara taps out. The Gemara is like, you know, the story with the Matronisa. So this story is told. Sorry. Where is this? Okay. Anyway, the Ran goes through the whole story. I'll do it quickly. Yeah, we have a minute. I'll do it quickly. Min Matronisa. So this is the fourth manner in which Rabbi Kiva was able to obtain his wealth. So Ba'amachas, Utsuchu Rabbi Kiva, Tamid of Maos, V'halcho Eitz Matronisa. So Rabbi Kiva needed money. So he goes to a matron. Now, we've already seen a number of times, even in this Masechta. So you see the word Matronisa, meaning it's usually a non-Jewish noblewoman. Right? In other words, a woman who's extraordinarily wealthy and typically not Jewish. I'm going to borrow from you, and Hashem and the ocean are going to be the guarantors. So Kavala's monthly piran. Okay, good. And they set a term in terms of when the loan is due. And so now the loan is due. And the Matronisa goes to the ocean. And Am Rabbanu Shalom Golovi Adul Fanechash Rabbi Kiva Chole, Vala Yabi Adul Fro Chovo. And look, I know Rabbi Kiva he's a good man, he's an honest man. And if he were healthy, he would have been here paying back the debt. He's sick. Okay. Rasha Ta Arev Badavar. But in other words, he told me that you're going to guarantee the loan. So miyad nishtatech bito shel keser v'nat la'argaz malei avanim tavos v'dinari zav v'zarka l'soch hayam. The daughter of Kesar became deranged, took a whole boatload of money and threw it over the threw it into the ocean. And so that money washed ashore right where the matronisa was. So miyad nalaos argas v'achala. Now she takes it and she goes. Liyamim nisrape Rabbi Akiva uvalo etzali matronisa umasaba yado lipiran chavo. Good. And now, at a later point in time, Rabbi Kiva recovers from his illness. She was absolutely right. Rabbi Kiva was sick. He didn't default on the loan. He just simply was sick. But when he recovered, so now he came back to pay her. But she was already paid. And that's exactly what she tells him. Amr lo chazarti etzel ha'arev. I went to the guarantor. V'hu parakol achov. V'alacha ma'ashanasa liyoser. And not only did I get paid back, I got paid back even more. Omiyosa mamun sheyachzir lo nisasa Rabbi Kiva. And so now with the extra amount that she was given, so she gave that to Rabbi Kiva. Okay. And that was number four, right? Revenue stream number four for Rabbi Kiva. Revenue stream number five for Rabbi Kiva, as we're now in the Amud Beis. And that is Min Ishto Shotanus Rufus. Okay, so here I will not read the run inside, I'll just paraphrase. And that is that he ended up marrying the daughter of Tarnus Rufus. The daughter of Tarnus Rufus was beautiful. She tried to seduce Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva did not fall for the seduction. In fact, upon their encounter, she was so moved by... I'm not giving all the details. So she was so moved by Rabbi Akiva, she ended up converting, and she ended up marrying Rabbi Akiva. Okay. And I know, by the way, in other words, such a real-life Gemara, meaning after such a beautiful story on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, with Rabbi Akiva and Rachel, and so... I don't know. Right? It's a fair question. I don't know. I'd be guessing. I really don't know. Right? In other words, possibility is that, in other words, there was more than one wife. It was multiple wives. Or it could be the Rachel died.
Yeah, actually, he says that there was another wife before Rachel, and he had a son that Yusha ben Karcha was from the previous wife before Rachel.
Okay. Okay, fine. Okay. I'm sure Midrashim fill in some of the gaps over here, and certainly... No, I'm not familiar with, but okay. Anyway, so anyway, that was the, and so good. And she was a wealthy woman. And so that was revenue stream number five. And finally, revenue stream number six is Ketia Bar Shalom. And here, Ketia Bar Shalom. So he says, look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Again, the Gemara, this is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah goes through, no, I take it back. It's not the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Okay, the story of Ishto, no, it is. I'm sorry. The sixth revenue stream is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So basically, okay, again, without going through all the details of the story right now, so somebody ended up giving his money to Rabbi Kiva. Let's just leave it like that. Okay, and when we get to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, we'll see the story in more detail. Okay, so anyway, so six revenue streams for Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva ends up becoming very wealthy. We're continuing in the Gemara. Rav Gamda Yavarba Zuzil Sapune. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to be telling us other stories regarding sailors and basically the Rav Gamda. Okay, this is very similar to Rabbi Kiva. And in fact, this was one of the revenue streams of Rabbi Kiva. And so now, this also is going to be serving as a revenue stream for Rav Gamda. Okay, who is he? I don't know. But Yavarba Zuzel Esapune, Lasui Bahu Midam. And once again, in other words, basically, it was like, just get me something for four Zuzim. Velo Ashkechu Asule Bahon Kupa. So the only thing they were able to get for him was a kof. Kof, of course, is a monkey. Okay, they got him a monkey. So ishtameit, and the monkey got free, and ala charasa, the monkey goes into a hole, right into a cave in the ground. Chafrua basrei, and they're following the monkey, and ashkeche derivi al margalisa. And what the monkey was doing was sitting on top of precious pearls. Aisun leikulun. So all those precious pearls were brought to Rav Gamda, and so, okay. The point of the story, unclear, unsure. So Amalei Bas Kesel Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Tarma for us Bechli Mechuar. Okay. Okay. In yesterday's daf, we spoke about how the Talmid Chachamim are weaker in general and not exactly the strongest group of people. And so the Gemara over here, a little bit connected to what we learned in yesterday's daf. But at this point in time, we're going to be saying Agadata for the rest of today's daf and also a little bit of tomorrow's daf as well. So Amarle Beis Kesel Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So the daughter of Kesar says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Torah mefa'ara v'chli mechuar. It's an elegant Torah. It's a beautiful Torah, but I can't believe right now that it's encased in you. In other words, you are not a beautiful man. Okay? So Amr la, so limdi mi beis avuch. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya had a great response to her, and he says, look, I learned it from your father. And that is, so Amrle b'mani depachre. So he says, where do you keep wine? So you keep it in earthenware jugs. And now earthenware jugs are not beautiful. So Amrle kuli ama bepachra ve'aton b'mani depachre. So everyone keeps in earthenware jugs. Meaning, but you're the daughter of Caesar. Like you should be keeping in something nicer. Asun. Achison b'mani dekaspe v'dahava. You should be putting your wine in silver or in gold. So azal v'ramechamra b'mani dekaspe v'dahava. So she's like, oh, that's a good idea. You're right. We're Caesar. We should be keeping our wines in metal. And meanwhile, it doesn't keep in metal. And v'sare, and the wine spoils. So amrla af araisa kain. And so he says to her, good, lesson learned. Meaning the wine, you can't take wine and put in gold and you can't put in silver. And similarly, and the only thing you can keep it in is an earthenware, right? And I know the earthenware doesn't look that beautiful, but that's what you keep it in. And it's the same thing regarding Torah, right? Torah hadoma l'yayin, right? It's obviously a mashal. So the Torah, you can't keep in something beautiful. So therefore, what keeps the Torah? Me. Afar Isaacain. Vaikin Shapir Nugamirin. So she makes an empirical observation. I've seen good-looking Talmidei Chachamim. Don't tell me they don't exist. So Amar La Ihavu Snu, have a Gamirin Tfei. So the response is that if they were not as good-looking, they would know even more. Okay. Ha'id Asi Lakamet Rav Yehuda Min Arda L'Dina. Huh? Yeah, the Gemara says by Rav Yochanan that he was a beautiful man, right? That's what Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, right? I wish I had your beauty, Rav Yochanan says I have a sister. Okay, good. I know. So Aid Asi Lakamet to Rav Yehuda Min Arda L'Dina. So someone brings Rav Yehuda to Beis Din Ve'ischayv Mindina. So the woman came to Rav Yehuda. Right for din, and he found her guilty. So Amr le Shmuel Rabcha Hachi Danan. So let me ask you a question. She says to Rav Yehuda, right? You're Rabbi Shmuel, right? Would he have judged like that? So Amr la Yadate le. So he says to her, you know my Rabbi Shmuel. So Amr le, she says, sure. In so Gutsa, he happened to have been very short. V'Rabba Krase. Happened to have a really big stomach and okays, and he was very dark in complexion, and Rabashine, and he had really big teeth. So obviously she gave an unflattering description to the to Rav Yehuda's Rabbi Shmuel. So Amar la levizui kaases. So he says to her, I see, you are not respectful. And to have a yisus abishamta. So he puts her in a cherim and paka umesa. And apparently she didn't budge, and so she blew up and she died. Okay. In other words, the cherem, right? When someone's excommunicated, sometimes it's called the shamta, sometimes it's called the cherem. So I don't know where I get this from, but this is old. I've heard this numerous times. So the word cherem is bigamatria 248. In other words, when someone has a cherem, so that means that is a klala on the 248 parts of the body. Okay, and if you don't do anything about it, so right, its effects are rather quick, as we just saw over here in the story. Let's finish up today's daf. Muter bebeitza tarmita. Okay, so we're going back to the Mishnah. We go back to yesterday's daf and hamnoder min hamavushal. So let's go to the next case of the Mishnah. Sorry. So tafshil she'eni toim. So a person says he's not going to eat tafshil. So tafshil means what? Anything that you typically eat together with bread. But if it's a standalone food, so then that you're allowed to eat. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah went on to say, so muta bebeitza tarmuta. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to eat the beitza tarmuta. Yesterday's daf, if I'm not mistaken, I gave a description of the beitza tarmuta. I gave the description because the Ron described it yesterday. And meanwhile, it's the Gemara right here in today's daf. And that's what we're seeing right now. My beitza tarmuta. So I'm Rishmol Avda Davila. So Shavi Alfe Dinare. So Shmuel says that, look, if you have a servant who knows how to make it, that servant is worth a lot of money. It's a skilled labor to make this beitza tarmita. So ma'ayola alfa zimna b'may chamima v'alfa zimna b'may kriire. So what you do is you take an egg, you boil it 1,000 times, you cool it down 1,000 times. I'm assuming you alternate between the two. Okay. Obviously, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but that's fine. In other words, I don't know how to make it. So ad demizutra, and what happens now is that basically, through this process, it's reduced now. Basically, it's like kind of like a pill that you swallow. And now what you're going to do is you're going to swallow it. And welcome now to the colonoscopy of the tkufa of the Amoraim. And so what you do is you swallow this pill. V'im iskiva srichala v'chanafka v'asya yada asya ma'isame mitbayele uv'maymase. So what happens now is that you're going to be swallowing this egg, which is basically a pill. Anything that you're having in right now that is whatever it is, it's an infection, whatever is in the colon right now is going to stick to it. It's going to come out on the other side. And now you get to analyze exactly what's happening over here. You get to study the pathology. And now you know how to treat the individual. It's impressive. It is. Okay, so Shmuel, have a batik nafshei bekucha. Shmuel would do an examination on himself. Shmuel was the doctor of the day, right? We know this. Shmuel was everything, right? Shmuel was a Talmid Chacham. He was an astronomer. He was a doctor. He mamish was everything. So anyway, so Shmuel badik ben nafshe bekocha. So Shmuel would do this examination, and he would use kocha. Okay, whatever. It's what ad de mitzrayin inche beisay alei sarayon. However, when his family saw, in other words, this was not pleasant, and it hurt. And the family basically pulled their hair out watching him go and struggle through this particular examination. Okay. Just a couple more lines to finish off today's daf. Just words of introduction. Okay, so when you're working in a field, so what you could do is that you could pick out the fruit that you're working on. Okay. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's Parshas Ki Seitzei. So when you're working in the vineyard, so you can take grapes and eat the grapes while you're working in the field. Okay. When we go up to the northern part of Georgia, so we always go picking and say on the field. The rule is, on the field you can eat whatever you're picking. once you leave the field, then you have to pay. Okay, so fine. In other words, it's a rachmanis that the Torah gives for the worker. In other words, the worker's working, it's hot, it's hard, and meanwhile he's working with the food. So an allowance is given to the worker, an additional to his pay, is that he can pick on the food. But the halacha is very precise and very clear, and that is that if he's working with in the vineyard, he can pick grapes, he can't pick any other fruit. Good. I'll send you exactly where I go. There's a farm up there that we fell in love with. Anyway, Tanan Hasam. Haya Ose Bechlufsin. It's a kind of fig. It's called Klufsin. So this is a Mishnah Maestros. It's in the second parak. So Lo Yachal Bivno Sheva. So what you cannot do is that you can eat another type of fig. Okay? So in other words, various types of figs. And so the halacha over here, so specific that when you're working with one type of fig, you can't eat the other type of fig. Good. So bevno sheva lo yochlu beklufsin. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah. Good. We're not interested right now in the, I mean, we are, of course, are interested in the Mishnah, but in other words, we're just interested right now in the words that were used over here. My klufsin. So mina detain adav demun lapte. So it's a type of fig. Okay, good. Meaning, I said fig, so you assumed, oh, I know what I'm talking about. I only know what I'm talking about because I read ahead. Because the Gemara tells us that's a type of fig. So there was a person, and he lent his evit to his friend. So la'agmure alfa mine lapte. And because, in other words, how do you prepare figs? So there are many different ways to prepare figs. And so he wanted his evit to learn the various ways of how to prepare figs, 1,000 different ways. So agmere, tamnimea, and so fine. So now the promise was that I'm going to teach him how to prepare it 1,000 different ways, and he taught him 800. Now I got to tell you, by the way,
I don't know.
So I got to tell you, that's pretty good. 800 out of 1,000, that's 80%. The azamne ledine, but in other words, what was promised is that he was going to learn 1,000 different ways, and he only taught him 800. So I'm a Rebbe. Avosenu amru nashinu tava. So anu afila beinenu l'rainu. So the Rebbe notes that after Churban Beis Hamikdash, so we've forgotten a lot, right? Nashinu tava, we forgot a lot. So, in other words, things that we have not seen with our own eyes, and the idea that. Meaning he's not commenting on whether, right, this is something you can litigate, just amazed over the fact that they had 800, 1,000 different ways to prepare figs, meaning these are the things that we've lost since Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Avalei Hilula, the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kasav, Abeis Ginana, Esrim V'arba Alfen, Ribun Dinarin, Rabbi made a chasna for his son. And for the chasna, 24,000, no more, right? 24,000 times 10,000. Okay, so right. So nafka beis ganana dinain. So that's how much he paid for the chasna. Velo azan mele bar kapara. He didn't invite bar kapara. So amar le. So bar kapara was really upset. He said im la ovre ritzono kach la osa ritzono achas kama vekama. So, in other words, he feels slighted. So the Azamnei. So Rebbe then in fact turned around and invited him to his chasna. Amr la usir ritzon abolam azekach, lolam abba alachas kama v'kama. Okay, good. So, for somebody who is now, compliant and does the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so not only should he be rewarded in this world, but olam haba as well. Let's stop over here. Yeah, let's stop over here. Okay, and from here until the Mishnah, until the upcoming Mishnah. So we'll have a half more day of Agadata. Okay, let's recap. Let's review. Easy day to review. Okay, just a continuation from yesterday in terms of coats that were worn by Rev Yehuda, his wife. Okay, the Rev Yehuda didn't attend the Tanis. Unclear as to why not. Anyway, And then for most of today's daf, Nedarim daf nun. So, second time in Shas that we get to hear the story about Rabbi Akiva and his wife. Married the daughter of Kaba Savua. Kaba Savua was very unhappy. And Rabbi Akiva was told by his wife to go learn. He learned in base measures for a total of 24 years, 12 plus 12. Right? I've quoted this before. There's a sikha by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He says that it wasn't 12 with an interruption and then 12, but it was rather 24 consecutive years. He didn't even go into the house to say hello to his wife, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and the Sichas Musar. So he notes that. And he talks about Ritzifus, he talks about continuity and making sure to not take a break in the action. Okay, the Gemara in Tzuvos, by the way, goes over other Tanaim and other Amoraim who spend an exceptionally long time in the base measures, meaning these are stories about, you know, Gedolim. So, in other words, it's not for you and I to be learning and leaving our wives for 24 years and going to the base medrash, obviously. But in other words, but these are gedolim. In other words, obviously, these are historically seminal people. And then for the rest of today's daf, we also get an epilogue in terms of Rabbi Akiva eventually was able to benefit from his father, eventually was released from his neder. We saw the Ron this morning in terms of how is this a Pesach, when meanwhile it seems like a nolad. The Ron says it's not a nolad. Okay. And then five other ways in which Rabbi Akiva had streams of revenue and in which he became wealthy. Ultimately, he became an extraordinarily wealthy man. And then we ended off today with a couple of other episodes and incidents regarding other Tanaim, other Amoraim. Adkan.
Oh, yeah.